This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time for Emergence News on Plains FM 96.9, citizen-made radio.
Kia ora koutou and welcome to Emergence News coming to you from Plains FM Access Radio. We are here in Christchurch on the South Island of New Zealand, known also as Te Wai Ponamu or the Greenstone Isle, where beautiful jade, green jade is gifted to us from Papatūānuku, the Earth Mother. It is a beautiful spring day here. The sun is shining, magnolias are in full bloom, daffodils are dancing and blossom is blossoming. We truly live on a beautiful planet and in a wondrous world. So who are we? We are part of a global group of volunteers working with Share International. We are bringing the news that humanity is now poised to take a great evolutionary leap of consciousness into a new world. A world where peace, harmony and true brother-sisterhood will be our normality. To help us achieve this, we have living among us a group of highly evolved beings known as the Masters of Wisdom. They completed their time of learning on this planet a long time ago, but have chosen to return to Earth to help us, their younger brothers and sisters, at this particular time of great change and turmoil. Their leader is Maitreya. He embodies the Christ principle, the energy of love for the benefit of us all. He comes as the world educator for all humanity. This is good news that we are happy to share. These wise and potent elder brothers are here because we are ready to receive them. We are ready for change, and they are the wind beneath our wings as we usher in a new age. Today on the program, we're looking at a subject that often distorts our vision of the world and veils the reality of what we feel or understand the world to be. In the esoteric wisdom teachings, this veiling or distorting is known as glamour and illusion. Many folks think that glamour is a good thing, something to strive for and attain, because it is associated with riches, wealth, and fame. We all know deep down that money does not buy happiness, but peace. But the desire to have it and experience it is something that we become enamored or glamored with. Desire comes from our emotional nature, and today we are looking at different aspects of glamour and how it can create a fog around us that prevents us experiencing life in all its fullness. Illusion, again, is a distortion of reality and comes from the mind in the field of ideas. When enough people create a thought form that becomes very powerful, it permeates our consciousness. We then accept that reality. For example, the general consensus now is that science is more reliable and correct than intuition, or that austerity is something we all need to embrace if we are going to be economically stable. Luckily for us, Maitreya is here shining his light so strongly that these glamours and illusions are beginning to be seen for what they are. Across the planet, the fog of glamour is thinning and distorted illusionary ideas are being challenged. So, we haven't got Peter with us today as he's up in Wellington. If you're listening, Peter, I hope you're having a lovely time. But we do have Nigel and John. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi there, Shafir.
I'm actually back, Shafir. I'm not new, I'm back.
Where did you go?
Well, I was away doing other things, Nigel. I've got a busy life. But yeah, I'm not a new boy, I'm the old guy back. Oh. Please don't make me sound new.
Okay, anyway, you're going to be talking about illusion, John?
Yeah, which is, as you've just discovered, one of my favourite topics.
Yes. And you're going to be talking about glamour.
Yes, and I must say, I'm really looking forward to listening to what John has to say about illusion.
Nigel's the new guy, remember that.
Yes.
Thank you, Shafir. My job today is to talk about glamour, and I'm going to look at a talk given by Benjamin Krem shortly, but I thought I'd start with the definition of glamour, which is illusion on the astral plane, so we're talking about the emotional level, the condition when the mind becomes veiled by emotional impulses generated on astral emotional levels, preventing the mind's eye from clearly distinguishing reality. And some examples of that is fear, self-pity, criticism, suspicion, self-righteousness, and over-materiality. And I think we could spend a whole program talking about some of those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about glamour, I'm taking some excerpts here from a talk given by Benjamin Krem in Holland in the Netherlands. And it's a discussion of glamour and its detrimental effects. It was first printed in the Sheer International magazine, and you should be able to find a copy of it on our website, sheerinternational.org. So Krem asks, what is glamour? When we are asked what glamour is, we can more easily answer this question by asking ourselves, what is not glamour? There seems to be nothing which enters our mind, comes out of our mouths, or concerns us in any way at all, which is not saturated or drenched with glamour. Glamour is illusion on the astral or emotional plane. There are three levels of illusion, all pertaining to the personality. Illusion on the physical plane is what we call Maya. On the astral emotional plane, we call it glamour. When it is on the mental plane, we call it illusion, and that's what John will talk about in a few moments. The vast majority of us live constantly in a state of illusion, the result of not seeing reality as it is. Eventually, we come to an understanding that this physical plane world, our astral and emotional life, and even our mental ideas are nothing more than illusions of one kind or another. The real world, which we can only know through the development of soul consciousness, is something which we have to reach for and experience through the practice of meditation and service. Through meditation, we gradually form a contact and eventually an alignment between our personality self and our true self, our soul. And we've talked about that on several programs this year, mm-hmm. talking about that link between the physical and the soul through the Antahkarana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When this is established, the soul can then throw its light on this illusory life, physical, emotional, and mental, in which we have up till then lived. And this is what evolution is about. We gradually evolve out of the darkness of our illusions, physical, astral, and mental, into the light of the soul, the true reality. It's quite a lovely way of putting it, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of you, especially if you've been listening to this program this year, many of you will have heard of the seven rays, the energies from cosmos, which control our lives. These ray energies have very definite and, in many cases, quite different qualities. All of us, as you probably know, are on particular rays. Our soul is governed by a particular ray. Our personality, our mental body, and our astral body, and our physical body, are all governed by particular rays. The differences in our personality and the effect that we have on each other is to do with the differences in the quality of the rays on which we find ourselves. And this also accounts for the difference between nations. Nations whose rays are on the same or similar tend to understand each other a bit better and become friends and probably trading partners. Nations whose rays are very different have very different approaches to politics, economics, international affairs, and so on. Consequently, humanity lives under a great cloud, a great pall of murky darkness, which is what, Shafir, you were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
which surrounds us even if we don't see it ourselves. It interpenetrates all our being. This is called glamour. Glamour is the result of not seeing reality as it is. As groups form and work together, they demonstrate necessarily their ray qualities, some of the virtues, and certainly most of the glamours of those rays. If we direct our attention to the world, to the needs of the world, our energy will flow out from us, out into the world. In meeting the needs of those around us, we forget about ourselves. And when we forget about ourselves, the glamours go. Because we have taken our attention and therefore our energy away from the glamours.
Oh, that's great.
So too goes our misery, our pain, and our isolation. And they are all glamours.
Mm-hmm.
We believe them to be true.
Mm.
But it's the great illusion.
So self-absorption is the problem.
Mm. It's a classic glamour, isn't it?
Mm.
The great secret in transformation is the redirection of thought. I think Krem's right onto it there. The great secret in self-transformation is the redirection of our thought. And, of course, that's what you'll be talking about, the mental plane.
But I won't be, but anyway.
Thank you for that input, John. Away from ourselves to the needs of the world. The more we are engaged in serving the needs of the world, the healthier and the happier and the more serene we gradually become. The fears, the jealousies, and the unhappiness fade away from a lack of energy. And they're all glamours as well, fear, jealousy, and unhappiness. These glamours are only held in place by the energy in which we feed them. So the way to deal with glamour is to first of all recognize it. Just look at it, but do nothing about it. Do not identify with it. Just withdraw your attention from that glamour and it will die of starvation. So what we're really talking about is increasing our self-awareness. So that's glamour.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah, so that's a bit of an idea of what glamour is on the astral emotional plane. And coming up shortly, John, you're going to look at illusion on the mental plane.
Well, maybe not. Okay, thank you, guys. Thanks for allowing me in the room once more. I just want to say that illusion is glamour on the mental plane. Okay, I'm done. What I really wanted to talk about was a little bit of a story, and in fact, it started with you two guys on Sunday. So I'm going to talk about illusion, the state of our nation. I was sitting with friends, and you're the only two I've got, so it was you two. And we were discussing the idea of illusion. This idea, and many religions and philosophers propound it, this idea that the life we live and our perceptions around it are just an illusion. It's not real. And a movie that worked this idea very well for me a number of years ago was a series of movies called Matrix. The hero becomes aware through his own struggles that something is not quite right. And through trial and error is finally released from his imprisonment, which actually was a form of slavery in that movie. And he's released by a better informed rebel group. He is then taught the way to truth is through what he thinks and believes, so a mental approach to reality. And in doing so, he uncovers the reality of his life, and that's what you were talking about, Nigel, that ability to think your way through things, or not, depending on your approach. Anyway, we're sitting in a nice cafe. It's a sunny day. The light was streaming in. We had all eaten well, and we're enjoying a quality of life that, although simple, had some qualities around it that we were aware that not everybody in this country can enjoy. So looking out of that window on a sunny Sunday, I started to think about the truth of life in New Zealand in 2018 and the illusions surrounding that. So let's talk about how wealthy are we actually? Did you know 10% of Kiwis own 60% of the wealth in this country? 40% of Kiwis own 3% of the wealth of this nation. 50% of Kiwis own 37% of the wealth of this nation. What does that mean? Well, the wealthy 10% go to great lengths to minimise their tax payments. Some of them actually employ people to minimise this tax take. They're called lawyers and accountants. Winston Peters famously reported many years ago that people not paying tax correctly, and I'd say fairly, and he used another word, was costing the government more than the annual welfare budget. It's not the poor who are robbing us, it's the rich. I'm a mythbuster, you heard it here first, although that idea is not original. Yes, I hear you say, the wealthy invest in this country. Yes, they do. But research also shows that they invest in such a way as to return 90 to 95% of that investment to themselves. And of course, that makes perfect sense. No one invests to help out someone else. So that 60% of the pie that they already own is growing really, really fast. We have the fastest growing gap between rich and poor in the OECD nations. When you have money, you make money. Money is a finite resource. You claim more of it for yourself. Let's talk about the type of investment. And here's what I would do. Not only would I invest in things if I was in that top 10% of earners that returned most of it to myself, but I'd only invest in things that returned the maximum in the shortest time. I'd only invest in things that were of personal interest to me. So that wonderful investment process returns to the top 10% big, fast, sexy returns to them. Non-sexy things like infrastructure don't return big or fast money, so they don't get done too well. The investment model in our type of economy does not solve society's problems, it often increases it.
Mm-mm.
What else do I hear you say? Oh yeah, that's right. That 10% provide jobs. Yes, they do. We have the lowest wages in the OECD nations. Thanks for that. We also...
And who screams loudest when the minimum wage goes up?
Exactly. Mm. The wealthy who have the profit margin. Exactly. We also, until the media and government stepped in, had some employers offering zero contracts. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Unregulated industries have always been problematic in this country. There was an effective collusion between corporate New Zealand and the political class some years ago that successfully dismantled the union movement in New Zealand. That helped, once again, that 10% to increase the ratio of the wealth in New Zealand. So when a small group have control over the majority of the wealth, what does that mean for the rest of us? The trickle-down effect. Oh yes, apparently that's going to save us all. Be warned. A rich man moving into your village will not make you richer. In fact, it may make the village poorer. The wealthy's skill base is around their ability to extract wealth from the village, under the guise of contributing to it. Let's look at the tax take in this country. As we've already covered, 60% of the wealth is tied up in such a way that extracting a reasonable amount of tax from it is problematic. This tax takes how the government runs the country. So therefore, we're attempting to run this country on 40% of the available nation's wealth, if that's taxed in a meaningful way. But we also know that 40% of New Zealanders have access to only 3% of the nation's wealth. So they've got nothing. Nothing. They actually need help from the rest of us. That's 40% of us. That's 4 out of every 10 New Zealanders don't have enough. They're the ones not enjoying the cafe lifestyle with my friends on that sunny day. So really, we're trying to run this country of 5 million people on the tax take from the other 50% of the population that is left. Remember, 10% of Kiwis own 60% of the wealth, 40% of Kiwis own 3% of the wealth, 50% of Kiwis own 37% of the wealth. Okay, so that 50% of the population, it's the biggest group, only have access to 37% of the wealth that's generated annually by this country. That is the group also, paradoxically, that's the most heavily taxed. They are more likely to be wage and salary earners that pay fixed amounts of tax. So we're attempting to run this country from the tax take of 37% of the nation's wealth. Those people are groaning under the tax take. They are groaning. They are paying 33 cents on the dollar in some of their earnings. They've also none of the advantages of being self-employed. They cannot supplement their income through running slash hiding some of their expenditure through the business. They live on what they take home to their families come payday. Nothing more or nothing less. All right, so what does this mean? How does that equate to my opening statement about illusion? Let me just say I don't really want to live anywhere else either, by the way. I want to be very clear on that. I'm also not suggesting that top 10% of earners in this country are tax cheats. What I am saying is that injustice stalks the land. Yes, the land of the long white cloud. In the form of a socio-economic system that supports and aids individual accumulation of wealth to the detriment of our society as a whole. And it's not monopoly. We did not all start go on an even plane.
We didn't all start with $200.
We didn't all start with $200. But here are some of the numbers. It's estimated that crime's a $12 billion enterprise in New Zealand. I think it's probably higher than that now. But organised crime's arrived here and the gangs are pumping large amounts of drugs into New Zealand and earning phenomenal amounts of cash. That's why international gangs, disguised as bikies, have willingly set up in New Zealand, literally selling criminal franchises to our existing gang culture. So we've got a $12 billion problem. How much do we throw at it? $1.6 billion. On the New Zealand police. 1.6 cups of tea do not go into 12 cups. Remember, infrastructure is not cool. I remember in the media recently, I think it was back in 2016, It's estimated there were 40,000 people in Auckland homeless. I don't believe that. 40,000 people, surely that can't be so. Let's say they're out by 50%. Let's say they got the numbers wrong. It still makes it 20,000. I don't believe that. Surely that can't be true. Okay, let's say they got it completely wrong. Let's slash that figure. Let's say they put the decimal point in the wrong place. Ideally, hope the figure's only 4,000 homeless people in Auckland. Well, that's way better than 40,000, don't you think? Yeah, 4,000 is okay. I can live with 4,000. No, I can't. 4,000 people in Auckland homeless, clean and green New Zealand, and 4,000 people or 40,000 people are homeless in Auckland. Let's remember Maitreya's priorities. Right, healthcare for all, housing, education, and food for all. How are we doing in New Zealand? Housing's unaffordable to own or rent. And the majority of it's poor quality homes. Remember our leaky home scandal, which seems to have disappeared off the radar. Healthcare. Once again, mainstream media reporting ongoing budgetary issues with DHBs up and down the country. We have doctors and nurses striking nationally recently to get decent work conditions for themselves. We're a civilised nation, apparently. Mental health, I don't even want to go there. Struggle. Education, same picture as health. Teachers saying enough is enough and going on strike. I heard a group of parents complaining recently about this new education philosophy where three teachers manage a group of over 100 children across three different age groups. It's called open classrooms or something. Is our education really preparing our kids for this world? Anybody out there got a student loan? Food. We're discovering some unpleasant things about food in this area, in this country. In fact, as a bit of a sideline, I spent all day with some work colleagues in a money management course. And they're in that 50% of Kiwis who are probably accessing 37% of the nation's wealth. I want to talk about what they were talking about. Let me be clear, these people are all on above average public service salaries. Yes, they're paying lots of tax, but most of them seem to be managing to run superannuation schemes and KiwiSaver and health insurance, so technically they're doing all right. Here's what they were saying. Here's what they were bugged about. The cost of putting food on the table was the issue. That was a constant budget issue, how to get that expenditure down. But in this country, we know that cheap food is poor food. Two incomes appear to be the saviour here. No kids goes a long way to managing this aspect of the household budget. But no kids is good budgetary advice, then the race is doomed. Housing was a bitter joke. The young ones trying to come up with ideas and schemes in the hope of buying a house. The older group thanking every god they could think of that they got on early. And were now nearing debt-free status, which was about to finance the next stage of life. They're trying to look at selling the house to fund retirement. Those with school-age kids were frightened about the cost of school care, after school care, so they were having to work to finance the kids. Thank goodness for grandparents, if you have them, in this country.
But what about the kids that haven't got grandparents?
Exactly. So there's your free childcare gone. All right, what's happened, New Zealand? Are we clean and green? Dirty rivers, dirty lakes, an aspect of the farming industry that appear unable to clean up its act. I wish Fonterra would stop inundating me with a PR campaign that's trying to convince me that they're saving everybody on the planet. I don't believe you. Tourism. More and more tourists, no toilets. Remember, infrastructure's not sexy. But I suspect many of the top 10 earners in this country have invested in tourism. So where does the money go? Well, it's the taxpayer that's been asked to stump up with the money for the infrastructure so we can put up our tourists. Where does the money go? I don't know. Okay, some Kiwis get jobs, but I don't want to work in hospitality, thanks. Are we all doing well? Clearly, 10% of us are. Does our political system have all the answers? I'm not sure a change in government's going to change things. Let me give you some other interesting numbers. Family harm. New Zealand police spend about 40% of their time with family harm events. Research has identified that 70% of it, 76% of it actually, is unreported. Now the New Zealand police are the least corrupt in the world. They have one of the highest resolution rates and a very high trust and confidence rating by New Zealanders. New Zealand's also one of the least corrupt nations in the world. Often we're number one. So we are battling on. And boy, those All Blacks just keep winning. But New Zealand, how are we really doing? If you're in the top 10% with nearly all the wealth, life's fabulous. And they intend to hang on to that. They currently have legislation and political will on their side. The rest of us, I'm going to finish with a quote from the TV show Friends. How are you doing?
This is the Emergence News on Plains FM. For more information, go to shareinternational.org.
Glamour by the Master. Of all the problems which beset humanity, there is none greater than the problem of glamour. It provides the basis for all our difficulties and dangers and holds the vast majority of humanity in its thrall. It is at the root of every division and cleavage and the source of every dimension of pain and suffering. It has its roots in the ancient past of mankind, and all but a very few are held under its sway. Essentially, glamour originates in man's sensuous feeling apparatus, the emotional or astral body, and in man's identification with its action. Through wrong identification with his feelings and emotions, his desire nature, he has surrounded himself and lost himself in a thick fog of illusion and unreality. This constitutes the glamour in which most people live out their lives. Glamour is illusion on the plane of the emotions and provides the greatest obstacle to progress for the individual and for the race. It throws a multitude of misconceptions across the path of the unwary, and the loftiest idealist is no freer from its influence. Nay, he is frequently more prone than the hardened cynic. What can be done to free humanity from this ancient thraldom, in part innate in the nature of substance itself? How can man free himself from wrong identification and the tyranny of his self-created thought forms? The answer lies in a shift of focus from the self to the group, in a truer identification with the soul and its relation to all souls. The light of the soul, through the agency of the mind, is the great dissipator of glamour. And long ago the Buddha taught the conquering of desire, the noble middle path between the pairs of opposites. In the light of the soul, the essential unity is seen, the astral waves subside, and the aspirant finds himself at initiation's gate.
All this information can be found on the Share International website, www.share-international.org. Scorpio Books in Christchurch carries the magazine and some books. And also don't forget the podcasts, which are available on the Plains FM website.
We welcome your comments, questions and feedback. Please contact us at emergencenews@gmail.com.
The opportunity to join our transmission is available Monday and Wednesday evenings and Thursday mornings, which gives us the possibility to do a service meditation in conjunction with the Masters.